Be seated. Going to read to you God's word from Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. I'm reading in the English Standard Version, Acts 16, 6 through 10. This is the word of our God. And they, that is Paul and Silas, and Timothy now along with them, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your mercies now, having heard your word read, and now to hear it preached. God, that you would guide us into all truth, that you would give us open ears, open eyes, and open hearts to receive your word and to see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask all these things in his name. Amen. Titled this sermon, A Clear Path Through Closed Doors. Clear Path Through Closed Doors. And if you're looking at your bulletin, I've included Phrygia, Galatia, Macedonia, just in case you've been following along the geography of Paul's missionary journeys with us. If you find that helpful, you may have a Bible, or your pew Bible might have a map in the back that you might find a helpful reference as we go through this passage to see where some of these places are. In any case, A Clear Path Through Closed Doors is what we'll be thinking on this evening as we read a passage that, in one sense, very straightforward, that the risen Christ, Jesus, is bringing the gospel to Asia. Now here, Asia is referring to what we call modern-day Turkey. And he's doing that through the instruments of Paul and Silas and young Timothy, and the "we" that we read of later includes Luke, the writer of Acts. You see him picked up in the narrative in verse 10. Christ desires to bring the gospel to Asia, and he's going to do that through Paul and Silas and the rest of their team. But the topic, really, I think that we find in the center of it, in terms of what this instructs us in for our own lives, is discerning the will of God for your life, or for a time in your life, or discerning God's direction in your life. Something I hope all of you who are following the Lord desire. It's a very important one, that we seek the Lord to walk in his ways. And yet, this can be a matter that can cause great anxiety in our hearts, because as soon as you say, "I want to know this," you might then ask the next question, how? How can you know? How can you be certain you're in God's will so that you can do it? Of course, you know God is sovereign, so you're always in it, but how can you be certain that you're in his will for your life, what he made you for, so that you can walk in it? It's something to take seriously, because life will pass you by, lived unintentionally. It simply will. Now, that's just common wisdom. You could watch Tuck Everlasting, that old movie, and find something like that. But life will pass you by, lived unintentionally. But a Christian is called to intentionally live into their call as a Christian. And as you do that, it is God who directs you on a straight path as you, as we see in this passage, will pass through, pass by, come to, cross over, and enter many places and different positions in your life. Idleness and unintentionality lead us, when we try to then solve this question, can lead us to a crisis or confusion and uncertainty or anxiety of missing God's plan for our life. I'm going to make this a little bit more specific here in a moment. But in terms of the difficulty we can have, this notion of discernment, not just of can we discern it, but the feelings around it, I think there are two major reasons that can cause us confusion or distress on the topic of discerning God's will. The first one is when what we're asking is to figure out the hidden will of God. I think it was R.C. Sproul on his old radio program said, you want to know the question, the number one question I get is, how can I know the hidden will of God? Now, can you hear the answer he probably gave, given the question? You can't. Deuteronomy 29:29, the hidden things belong to the Lord. Let them be. But that which is revealed is for you and for your children. Not that you don't know everything, you just don't know the hidden will of God. We are to content ourselves in what he has revealed. And I think along with that, sometimes we can be trying to think through what is God, where does God want me, and all of these things without moving. We can become kind of like an armchair quarterback to say, I'm going to think about it, but I'm never going to take any steps. Motion is important. God tends to lead us in life through, as we see in this passage, like with bumper rails. Boom, 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 and yet you're going down a straight line right where he wants you. If you haven't begun to bowl, those bumper rails aren't going to do you much good. How will you walk by the Spirit if you're not on your feet? And movement here can mean prayer. I mean, it doesn't mean you're always moving your body, but that's a spiritual exercise. But it doesn't only mean prayer. It actually does mean practice, practicing your Christian faith. In and wherever the Lord has you. The second major reason I think that there could be a lot of confusion on discerning direction or panic when all of a sudden, sometimes we're graduating high school and all of a sudden we realize, I want to know God's plan for my life. Or at a transition period of life, I need to know God's plan for my life or what God wants me to do in this moment. And we find we are not well equipped to begin answering that question. Because we've been idle and unintentional about the things that have been revealed. Those questions like, not just where do I want you, but who are you to be a child of God? Have you answered that question to come to Jesus? Have you answered that question? What does it mean to be adopted in the family of God and to start to take on the characteristics of that family, as it were, and what you are to be about wherever you are? What are you to be about? The Father's business. To be a child of God and to be about the Father's business, if we're not meditating on these as a regular thing, then when the time comes where we want to know a specific direction in our life, that muscle for discerning the Spirit's guidance is kind of like pulling a hamstring. You kind of come up lame. Not that the Lord can't mercifully still guide you limping along, but you can be experiencing crisis where the Lord desires to give you comfort and clarity, but we are to, but when we consider the direction of God in our life, we can come to points where we just feel unsettled about what we are uncertain about. What I want to consider here in Acts 16 is that in these verses, 6 through 10, the Spirit teaches the church that you don't find God's will for your life by solving it as a problem, by writing it up on a whiteboard or something like that. It's not a problem to solve, but it's a path to follow as God reveals his will for your life step by step. And if I could push it a little bit further, you don't find out God's will for your life by solving it as a problem, but by following it as a path. And living in God's will is not a problem to solve, but that itself is a gift to receive, even with its uncertainty. Paul and Silas are probably taking up their journey here from Lystra or Iconium. This is why I told you you might want to have your map. But they're moving westward. They're moving westward, probably through Pisidian Antioch, and they come to this question: Where to from here? Where to from here? Surely they're not going to go backwards east, right? And likely Barnabas and John Mark are coming up from Cyprus and the south, so they don't need to go south. So they come to the conclusion: westward ho! And guess what? They're right the whole way. They're going westward. They go, and yet as they're moving west, the Holy Spirit forbids them to speak the word in Asia. Now, this is an area that would be south, but much further, but a bit further west than where Barnabas and John Mark would have been laboring. And so they pass through the region of Phrygia and Galatia on a route between the regions of Mysia, which would be, again, further south in Asia, and Bithynia, which is to the north. Since they can't go to Asia in the south, can you guess what their next try was? It's in the text, but you can kind of work it out, because you would think the same thing. As they're going, they say, well, the Lord said no to the south. Let's go north, northwest. And they attempt to go north. They try, but the Spirit of Jesus didn't allow them to, so they have to pass by Mysia, and they go down to Troas, where they evidently meet and pick up Luke. There's our we passage. And it's there where a vision appears to Paul, making clear God had called them to preach in Macedonia, and so they go immediately. All along, the Lord is leading them, but primarily is doing so by using the word no. No, no, no. And yet each time, do note that the Lord grants them clarity. No is a clarifying answer, isn't it? It's not a non-answer. It's now you know. Now you know. And as I consider this passage, I think the questions when we're looking for the Lord's direction in our life need to begin in the right place. I opened up this sermon considering the question oftentimes is where or when you're supposed to do something. But what I see here as Paul and Silas are being bounced around on spiritual bumper rails is that they have already worked out the who and the what that we consider to be a child of God and to be about the Father's business. And for them, as a child of God, Paul had been called as an apostle. He knew he was to be doing the Father's business, and the particular business he was supposed to be doing was preaching the gospel. And at no time does that come into question in this entire passage. Did you catch that? So he knows who he is, Silas knows who he is, and they know what they're to be doing. They're just saying, Lord, lead us to any place that you want us to do it. These questions of who and what, who am I, and what is the Father's business for me to be doing? These are the first questions we need to be seeking direction in, that the Lord provides much more clarity for in our lives. They're the engine that propels you with forward motion to ask the questions of where and when. Should I do what? Well, what you're called to do. Where and when should I do what? What you're called to do as what? As a child of God, have you reconciled first with God? Are you filled with His Spirit? Do you know what giftings He's given you to do? Then start asking where and when, but start trying them out wherever you are. You discern direction from God by doing the will of God, by walking as a child of God, by going about the Father's business. What's the Father's business? Well, I can give you a simple one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Once you've perfected that one, you come back to me and we'll do some other ones. But once you get that one down. But if you're active, so think of it though, just on a simple verse, easily memorized, right? On this, all the law and the prophets hang. If you're actively, intentionally, creatively thinking through what does that mean in my life, don't you think you're going to start having more and more clarity on how am I best able to do that the way that God made me? And with the resources God has given me. And then as you're starting to do that, aren't you going to start to say, where might I most profitably do that? You might try here, you might try there, and say, no, that wasn't that helpful. It wasn't a bad thing to do, but it was, and boom, 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 boom. But you're following the what and the who that God has revealed much more clearly, and then letting the Spirit guide you in the where and the when. And that grants us a tremendous amount of freedom. If God is our shepherd, Isn't he the one that's responsible to make sure you get to where you're supposed to be going? I haven't done this, but I think if I asked some sheep sometime, hey, do you know where you're going? They might be like, no. I mean, it probably sound like, bah. But no, but I'm probably going to eat there. No, but wherever I'm going to go is probably going to be where I need to be. Sometimes I think when we try to discern, you know, where's God leading me? We think of him not as a shepherd or as a loving father who's teaching us, but like a gotcha journalist. Like playing the game Operation. You ever play it, or am I aging myself here? When you have to go in with the tongs and there's a metal rim and if you touch it, it's electrified. You don't get shocked, but it makes that sound where you're trying to operate on this. It's a really hard game to describe, I guess, because I'm doing this. Anyways, we think God's just waiting to be like, no, and you've wasted all your time and your effort and all like this. And the Lord says, no, I'm guiding you and I'm teaching you as you go. And you're seeing how I do this. And you say, well, what about in all of that time? There's so many things I could have done. Maybe some of you aren't even in the place where you're trying to seek it. You're kind of looking back saying, how many missed opportunities did I have? There's a time to consider something like that. But I do want to maybe bring you back to the text here and just ask you the question, how many times... Now, Paul and Silas, they wanted to preach the gospel. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Good thing. And it's something they're called to do, right? So it's not them trying to do something they're not called to do. It's something they're called to do. Now, how many times and places are we told that they had to pass through somewhere or pass by or go to or cross over or go down where the Lord said, not here, not yet? And the Lord does that in many different ways in our lives. Some of them are very mundane, and we can miss it if we're not convinced and confident that of what the Lord has said, which is, I am guiding you. I am making your path straight as you go. You say, why didn't that work? If only I could have made it work, then I would have had greater opportunity. And the Lord might say, I was just closing the door to make your path a little clearer here. It was a good thing to do. I just didn't intend for you to do it there right now. There's going to be churches planted in Asia. We're going to go to Ephesus at some point in Acts. But God said, not right now. I didn't do that well studying economics in college. But one thing that did stick out to me was studying something called opportunity cost. You know what this is? Which is anytime you have an opportunity. Some of you, yes, some of you know. Here's what it is. It's... Anytime you have an opportunity set before you, when you say no to one thing or yes to something, you're saying yes or no to something else. Once you say yes, you're saying no to other things. Once you're saying no, you're saying yes, you have the opportunity to say yes to other things. And God says, in terms of having a missional life, leave the opportunity cost to me. I'm leading you, I'm guiding you, so that, because it's the enemy who's going to want to cripple you with guilt and what ifs, and you and I, those are hidden things. Aren't they? There's times we know we've ignored the word of God. That's a different issue than what we're talking about here. But where you're seeking the Lord, Lord says, you leave that to me. That's my business. It's not your business. You do the bumper rail thing. I'll lead you where you need to be. And you're going to see where you've passed through, gone to, passed by, gone down, crossed over, or gone out. And in the end, you're going to look back and say, wow, the Lord brought me in right where I needed to be. Don't you feel maybe that pressure lift a little bit in terms of what your place is in all of this? So you're free. You're free to go forward in this way. Because you don't find out God's will for your life by solving it as a problem, but it's something that's revealed progressively to you by following a path. And you start saying, that was your will. You see, as you're going and living in God's will that way, it's not a problem. It's a gift to receive, to walk in his care, to be shepherded. Paul and Silas are clear in their calling, even when they're uncertain about the particulars. You can be too. You're called to Jesus. You're called to walk in his ways. And you say, well, how do the particulars work? Well, you start testing things. You practice it. You're walking with the Lord. You're asking him. He makes it clear. It's we who are called to what? To live, to move, to have our being and doings in the Lord, to walk diligently, thoughtfully, creatively, living and walking by the Holy Spirit. We're exercising muscles in that way. What's it mean to be a child of God? What's it mean to be about my Father's business? That's the muscle that is going to allow you, one, to have peace while you're waiting and walking, and it's going to allow you to have more discernment when the Spirit does move you in a particular moment to say, ah, this lines up really well with who I am and what I'm to be doing and the way that the Lord has gifted me and the way that I've started to learn how to use these gifts the Lord has given me, which means, as I said earlier, as they're bumping around, a no is as good as a yes. And I'm going to show you in another way. They travel about 300 miles. That's using my thumb on the map. That is the precise NASA-grade measurement of how far this was. But it's about 300 miles on foot. That's several weeks to travel just with sleep, and then it says they're trying to enter different areas, so I don't know how long that takes in terms of trying to go to Bithynia as their, you know, consulates and things like that, trying to work through where they're not granted visas or something like that. I don't know how that worked. But on each one of these 300 some miles, the Spirit of Jesus shepherds Paul and Silas, not only with the road signs, but those bumper rails, keeping them exactly where they need to be, just like we're told in the Proverbs. Here's wisdom. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his footsteps. There's certainty and uncertainty there, isn't there? Uncertain of where your footsteps are going to go, but certainty that God is directing them. Now, is that a safe place to be or not? There's an uncertainty necessarily always of where the Lord is directing them, but you say, but it is the Lord who's directing them. I have planned my way. The Lord intends for you to make plans. He says, but as you're carrying them out, let me, you know, adjust them when I need to. And aren't you glad that he does adjust your plans? Sure, there's some folks here today that could testify to points in your life where you've looked back and said, I'm so glad the Lord adjusted a plan that I made and made it straight, because I would have stumbled mightily or ended up in a pothole. There's an uncertainty, but it's not one that ought to lead us to crisis or to confusion. It's to say, it's the Lord directing my steps. You know, the way I think you apply that is, it's God has freed you, since you're not solving life's problem of what's God's will for your life, but you're following a path that he tells you you're on, and with feet that he says he's guiding. He's saying, leave room to be surprised, child. I know what I've got prepared for you. Leave room to be surprised. Now, ultimately, right, I mean, the Lord even tells us of heavenly glory, saying, what has not even entered the mind of a man, leave room to be surprised. But I don't understand all of it. Yeah, but you get a little bit of it. And you let the Lord surprise you with the rest. Don't you think it's what we sang about, that glory that we'll see with an unveiled face one day, that vision of Christ in all of his glory. It's to say, we know we haven't seen the fullness of it yet, but you've seen a glimpse of it. Leave room to be surprised, and don't think that that the God who promises those big things is less interested with what we might call these small things. Because out of these small things, the Lord did big things. We're going to read epistles to some of these churches that get planted, and we're going to continue to glean spiritual knowledge and understanding from the scriptures that come from the pen of this apostle. The Lord is doing so many things here. In his time and through his people, he does it through no's, and he does it with room to be surprised. Do you think Paul and Silas expected that they were going to go all the way to Macedonia? If you're looking at your map, that's way far west. They're going to Europe. They're going on a European it's not a vacation. They're going to Europe. And all of a sudden, you start saying, how big is this gospel that's being preached? How big is this kingdom going to be? Isn't it Christ who came in the flesh as the Son of David, who's enthroned eternally as our mediator and our king? How great is this kingdom going to be? And you're starting to see, bigger than I thought. We opened up the book of Acts with the question, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And how's Jesus respond? He says, I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit, and you're going to receive power from on high. Doesn't answer. Here you see the kingdom being proclaimed farther and farther out from Jerusalem, here through nose until you finally get a very clear yes. And in all of those 300 miles, this is the point I want to make here, it's Jesus who's been leading them step by step. If you were to chart, if you were to do your Google Map or your Apple Map, I'm not getting into a fight tonight, Apple Map, Google Map, or MapQuest, some of you, you would find that the route that they took with all of those ping pongs, it's a straight line. It's a direct flight kind of route, that's what you would want from your travel advisor. It's a straight line from the churches they had been visiting in Iconium and Lystra straight to Troas. In other words, with all those no's, they say, well, I'm just wasting time here because I don't know where I'm going. They haven't wasted any time. They end up exactly where they need to be, in Troas. What's Troas? It's a port city. In other words, God brings them to where the boat is and then gives them a vision saying, get on a boat. It's essentially what happens. Not only do they finally get there, see, I don't think we have a problem with that. We say, of course you're going to get there eventually. The Lord took them on a direct route. They just didn't know it. Isn't God good? Wasn't their problem to figure it out. They were just to keep walking and keep looking until the Lord says, that door. Because each time they knocked, they got an answer. God said, no, but keep going. They're not wasting time. In fact, they were making definite progress. Ever think about that in your life as you're knocking on doors and you say, Lord, which one's going to open? Goodness, I haven't moved. And Lord says, you have an example here. You're knocking on those doors. You're seeking Lord. Lord says, you're going to see, you're making progress because I've promised to shepherd you and to guide you. You are making progress. You're going to see that it is you who are to acknowledge me in how many of your ways? Math question. All. Okay, it's okay. It's late. In all your ways. And what does the Lord say? I'll make them straight. Love Proverbs. They're so short. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. He makes your path straight. So is he making your path straight today? I guess the question is, are you acknowledging him in your ways? That sounds a lot like not trying to solve God's will for your life as a problem, but by following a path. Isn't Christ the way that we follow? Isn't that the path of wisdom that's laid out before us? They're not wasting time. They didn't lose any time either because they kept moving. And once you're certain God is leading, because God tells you he's leading you, you're looking to Jesus, he's leading you, doesn't that make the journey peaceful? That's a question maybe I leave you. Seeking God's direction, you're like, that's true. But if God says, and I am leading you as you start walking, doesn't that change the nature of the travel? Because you know you're on the way. You're not stuck in traffic like I was trying to get off of the turnpike here. And then you're not making wrong turns like I did when I backed off of the exit ramp because it was backed up and tried to go to the next exit and realized it wasn't until Lancaster and thought maybe I wouldn't get back to church in time. You're not doing things like that like somebody might do. It's the Lord who's guiding you directly to where you need to be. You're not losing time. You're not wasting energy. The energy itself is part of your growth. And then all of the uncertainty in that journey, because you know it's God who's guiding you and not your pastor's map quest here, right? In terms of my driving analogy, I'm guiding you here as a minister. But isn't it just eager expectation? I don't know, we used to go on vacations when I was younger. My dad liked to surprise us with things, surprise stops, and sometimes he would let it slip a little bit like, we are going somewhere. Well, where? Oh, I'm not going to tell you. Well, then I don't want to go. Is that how you responded as a kid? I don't want to go. No, because you know it's good. You know it's good. You just really want to know what it is. He said, well, how am I going to get there? Well, you got to pack up your stuff. You got to come. Life in the Spirit and walking with our Lord is not very dissimilar from that. And sometimes I think we think of it in this other category. It's a little bit more basic to the Christian life. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. Let him make your path straight. There's peace there. Isn't there peace there? Isn't there confidence there? And there's security there then when you're waiting or when you feel like, I don't know everything. And actually, maybe that's the thing that we're most afraid of. We're afraid we're going to have to give an explanation to somebody else because we don't know. But the Lord says, I never called you to know everything. You'll know in my timing. And if you have to, if someone's pressing, you say, I'm waiting on the Lord. Are you free to do that? Paul and Silas were. And you're free to do that because your Savior lives. You're free to do that because this is part of how this risen Christ builds his church. You go to the cross, you find forgiveness for your sin. This is how one is born again of the Spirit. And then what does life in Christ look like? It's not doing a lot of guesswork. It's not going up to heaven to try to get a word or going down to Sheol to try to get a word. But he says the word of God is near you and it's in you and I've written it on your heart. And so walk. Walk and let the Lord show you what his will for your life is as you are busy about the Father's business and resting in the security of being a child of God. But let us get up and move and follow after him. Don't worry, I know it's an expository sermon and you're saying he doesn't have time to get to the vision. I've skipped the whole thing and I am going on vacation. No, I'm going to sum it up very quickly here. After all of that bumping around, this is how I've come to think of this. The vision appears to Paul. In other words, after all of that time waiting and watching and walking a lot of miles, when it comes time for the Lord to do the bigger revelation of where he wants them to go, did you notice he has no problem making it as plain as day and as abruptly recognizable as being splashed with cold water? They get to Troas, and Paul has a vision. God could have done it in other ways, but here it's like, look, I can work through these means and this means. Here I'm going to make it really clear. Look, you haven't just been wandering around and waiting. When I'm ready to tell you exactly where you're going to go, I'll tell you. In the meantime, trust me. And don't you think that strengthened Paul and Silas's faith too? As they were, you remember their disciples too. They're not perfected here until glory as well. And their faith gets strengthened. Their endurance gets strengthened. And the Lord says, the Lord gives him a vision of someone in Macedonia saying, come help us. And that's great if you're a missionary, isn't it? I know Chris Walmer's done stuff with as our regional home missions coordinator for a time. Wouldn't you love that? You just want someone in a town to say, hey, come plant a church here. That's an easy argument to make. You say, I'm already on the way. And here, the Lord already has his men on the way. So when the Lord desires to make a fuller revelation, he has no problem doing it. And in the meantime, rest on what he has made clear. The hidden things belong to the Lord, but what is revealed, that's for us and for us to teach our children as we're walking with that Lord. You don't find out God's will for your life by solving it like a problem of what's God's hidden will. It's by following this path and living in God's will that way. It's not a problem. It's a gift to receive. Here there can be travel in peace. Here there can be watching and waiting with confidence. And here there's clarity in a call when it's the Lord's timing. And here there has been direction all the way through, passing by, coming over. Why isn't God so good that he continues to work and to lead you and to guide you? This is the Lord Jesus you're to worship and to follow this week by faith, to take him at his word, to consider who are you, what are you to be about, and then see where the Lord might lead you. But let us look to him and trust him. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your name, God, and we are reminded again and again, and we need to be, that you are God and we are not, that we are instruments, Lord, in your hand and not ones that need to direct your hand. God, we pray that you would indeed show us and grant us direction in our lives, that you would continue to reveal your character more and more in our lives and show us more and more what it means to be about our Father's business. And then, God, as we seek, God, your particular direction in particular moments, we pray, God, that at your time you would make that plain as day to us and grant us confidence that you will do as you've revealed and you will do as you've promised. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.